make your way to Colossians chapter 3, if you would, please. Colossians chapter number 3. We were in Luke chapter 6 this morning and preached you a message entitled A Biblical Valentine's Day. And the world will celebrate Valentine's Day, and we will celebrate Valentine's Day with love and relationships. But the Lord Jesus just laid on my heart a message to preach about loving our enemies. And so counter to the culture is the ability to love your enemy. I will tell you that the ability to love your enemy is an ability that only the Lord Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, will give us. We looked at this morning how that God has the right to ask us to do this because the Lord Jesus loved his enemies. Matter of fact, he loved me while I was at enmity with him. Understand, God has never been at enmity with you, but when we were lost in our sin, all sin is enmity with God. Therefore, I was identified as a sinner, and I was in a position as an enemy in my behavior, an enemy in my righteousness. And instead of the Lord just cutting me off as his enemy, he died for me. Powerful, wonderful. The Bible talks about that a man would lay down his life in this way. And so we talked about what an enemy is, and we talked about the hostility of that enemy and somebody that despises us, somebody that is aggressive toward us. If God wants us to love somebody at that kind of position and aggressiveness, then I would say God wants you to love the person that has offended you, love the person that you work with, love those that would be even in the scale up to that. Love is an action. The Bible doesn't care if you don't feel animosity in your heart towards somebody. The Bible says that we're to love, and the evidence of love is that there is an action. And most of the time, the primary action that love draws is the action of giving. So Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to them. Boy, that was pretty confrontational in my own heart and in my own mind, because most of the things that we want to do to our enemies could not be defined as good. You can acknowledge that, you pious Christian, you. Okay? So a lot of, and not only are we to do good for them, and wrapped in that in our behavior, where he said, as you would want them to do unto you, you do unto them, but there's also the praying, there's also the blessing part of that. I'm gonna tell you something, it's not easy to pray for your enemy. It's not easy to bless those that curse you, those that despitefully use you. Pastor, how am I able to do that? You cannot do that without the enablement of the Lord. The other thing that needs to be primary in your mind is you as an individual are going to stand before God one day, and you're going to have to give an account for your part of all of the relationships there. And so we looked at all of that, and if you missed this morning's message, I would encourage you to get it. I thought I would just end the day. We preached on loving your enemy. I would end the day today on loving your brother. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I have brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are, say amen. You know, the Apostle Paul, we don't believe ever made it to Colossae, to the church here. He knew about them. They were in his heart. He prayed for them. And he wrote an epistle that the Holy Spirit of God impressed upon him. I think that in somewhat you find that no church is perfect, no people are perfect. And there were some difficulties within the church at Colossae. For example, if you look at chapter number 3 and look at verse number 8, he's referencing here their behavior, and he says, But now, so they have a little problem, and this letter is being read to the church. And as the letter is being read to the church, they're hearing the admonition of the Apostle Paul. But now ye also put off. Putting off would really be to kind of undress. You know what it is to put off your clothes. You know what it is to undress. Put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. These are things that ought not to be in the life of the believer. These are things that can be in the life of the believer, but these are not. These are to be put off once we know the Lord. And if you look at verse number 9, lie not, L-I-E, lie not one to another. So they had some sin against each other going on in the church. They had some deceitfulness against each other. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And praise God that that image is a righteous image. He goes on in verse number 11 to address unity within the body. He says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all, and he is in all. There were some man-made barriers by nationalism, ceremonialism, cultural distinctions, social distinctions that were within the body. We know about some of that. When you think about all the nations that are represented in our body, there's cultural distinctions, there's social distinctions, there can be political distinctions, there can be cultural distinctions. But when it comes into the body of Christ, the only distinct one that ought to be is Christ himself. And it is the Lord Jesus that is all in and all. And so Paul's addressing this in verse number 12. If to put off means to undress, then to put on means to dress oneself. So get an image in your mind of you putting on your clothes today. Some of you should have kind of looked at what you were wearing before you came. You're putting on your, put on therefore, as the elect of God. Now watch this. Holy and beloved bowels of, say that word, mercies. Remember this morning, to the believer, we were told by the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 6 at that message there that we are to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. And mercy is something that ought to be part of your life. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. You know, people deserve a lot of things, and sometimes they rightly deserve those things. Sometimes I think God's people get so hung up on justice. Well, I just want them to get their just delights or their just desserts or just justice to be taking place here. I got news for you. We are to do justly, but justice does not belong to us. Justice belongs to God. Read the book of Romans. You and I, we're to love mercy. We're to be merciful in our relationships, both to the unsaved world, to the enemies of our lives even, but also within the body of Christ. Put on holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness. That word kindness we had this morning where it talked about how the Lord is kind to the unthankful and even to the evil. I would ask you just this simple question. Are you a kind person? Are you kind in your behavior? Are you kind in your image? Is your image an image of kindness? Why would you ask me that, Pastor? Oh, go back to verse number 10, please. And have put on the, what are those two words? New man, which is renewed in knowledge after the, what class? Image of him that created him. Well, we know that God, that the Lord Jesus is the one that created in us that new image. And those of us that have put on, therefore, as the elect of God, put on the image and covered in the image of Christ. And that image is an image of kindness. We need kindness in our church. We need kindness. within the relationships of God's people. We need, you ought to do a word study. The second time I've said this today, do a word study on kindness. Humbleness of mind. You'll never know kindness without a humbleness of mind. Meekness and long suffering. The very fact that we're told to put on these things is evidence that that takes some work. It takes effort. It takes acknowledgement. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. Forbearing or bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. Right? So as we're learning to live together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and as we're learning how to put on holy and beloved vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering, some of us get it a little quicker than others. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, Paul knows that within the church, the mature believer or those that have done these things, they're going to have to be patient. They're going to have to exercise some forgiveness with one another. They're going to have to have some understanding here and forbearing one another. I'm sorry that I'm not as spiritual as you are. Have some patience with me. And by the way, we should have some patience with each other. Verse number 14. Or verse 13, he says, and remember this, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now you think about the extreme here that we've faced today, especially those of you that have been in both services. This morning, love your enemies. We talked about the aggressiveness of that. We talked about the responsibility that we have there. Now we're not talking about an enemy. We're talking about a brother. By the way, let me just remind you of this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he causes us a problem. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So as it comes to my brother, if I have a quarrel, then I need to reckon how Christ has forgiven me, and I have to forgive them as well. I think there's action that goes with that. Verse 14, as he moves on here, he says, and above all these things, put on charity or put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. So as I'm adding these virtues to my life and I'm in growing with one another, it is the bond of love that binds everything together. So Jesus said to his disciples, it's the love of God that is countercultural to a world. It's the love of God toward your enemy that the world is going to see the works of God in you and glorify the Father. It's your ability to love as I have loved. It's your ability to have that love of God exalted over even what a sinner would be able to do that really reaches out and makes a difference in the world. Here, within the body of Christ, he's saying, putting on the bond of perfectness or the spirit of charity or love is what keeps us together. I asked you if you were kind. I asked you if you were merciful, and I'm asking you if you have above all put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love enables us to forbear. Love enables us to forgive. I think we need to be reminded about the power of love within the relationships of God's people. It's what brings in harmony and unity. Listen. Learning how to love somebody that does something different or may be a little bit different in their approach is vital to knowing unity within the body of Christ. Vital to that. As you work into verse 15, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. He's talking here about believers being at odds with each other. And that ruling is like an umpire who makes decisions in an athletic contest. And as we're learning to love our brethren, really and truthfully, the umpire that makes decisions is the thought of peace. It's me letting the peace of God rule in my heart. Whatever course of action best maintains peace, whatever course of action fosters harmony is the course to be taken. Sometimes you're the winner, sometimes you're the loser. But the umpire in my decision process as I'm loving my brother is this. There is nothing that can happen between me and my brother that ought to be outside of the peace of God. It's the peace of God that I'm seeking, that I'm putting on, that really calls the plays and the shots in my behavior. And whatever I can do, I'm seeking after peace. When you do that, you will find that you will be called in one body. And look at verse number 15. And be ye what, class? The last word of the verse. Thankful. A thankfulness develops in there. You know, this is the second time we've had thankful. We had unthankful when it came to loving the enemies. We have thankfulness when it comes to loving our brother. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. A biblical Valentine's Day. Love your enemies, but also love your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're thankful for your brother and sister in Christ, say amen tonight. Put on these things. Let nothing divide us. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in us with all wisdom. And whatsoever we do individually and whatsoever we do as a body, let's do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray?